I have truly enjoyed this meeting. Amen. We need the Lord's help very much this morning. Thousands of years ago, the Israelites were living as strangers in a foreign land. It was a land that was very foreign. The language, the food, the sights, the sounds, and the religious background was very different from that of the Israelites. Ancient Egypt was a land of great spiritual darkness. Over the course of the nation, the history of the nation, they worshiped hundreds of gods and goddesses. And most of their gods were associated with animals, with objects in nature, the Nile River, the hippopotamus, the cat, just so many different things, the sun. This was the spiritual foundation of the dark land of Egypt. And I thought it was interesting that those gods changed with time. As society evolved, as people's thoughts were changing, so did their gods. Some of their gods rose in importance and others fell over time. Imagine coming from the background of being a descendant of Abraham and living in a place with that kind of spiritual darkness. It was a dark time in their lives. They had a frog goddess, and I mentioned cats. They would mummify cats and use them as a part of their worship. That's pretty grotesque, isn't it? Can you imagine living in a nation like that and knowing about Jehovah, knowing about the true God? The Israelites came from a godly heritage. They had Abraham as their father. Did you know Abraham was called the friend of God? That Abraham was called the father of faith? That Abraham was called by God into a land of promise and he obeyed? We have a description of Abraham, and we have some promises that Abraham received in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17, "And blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." This was the kind of promise that the children of Israel had, the kind of heritage, the kind of forefather that they had. So being in Egypt, you can imagine, was very much a foreign land. In Hebrews, we have a description of Abraham, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." By faith, Abraham, father of faith, went into this foreign country. Isaac was a part of the heritage of the Israelite, a young man that was willing to lay down his life for God, in obedience to God, as an only son. What a spiritual lesson, what a foresight into the future, an only son willing to lay down his life. Jacob was one of their forefathers. Jacob wrestled all night with the angel, wouldn't let go until he would receive a blessing, and he won the victory. Jacob needed a change. He needed to become a new man. His name meant supplanter. He was a deceiver. He was one that would cheat people out of what was rightfully theirs. But Genesis 32 and 28 describes what the angel told him. He said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, For as a prince, thou hast found power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Quite a heritage. Quite some teaching that these folks had. And then to be surrounded by all these people worshiping cats, worshiping the Nile River, hippopotamuses, crocodiles, all of these different things. What darkness, what ignorance. At first, their stay in Egypt was good. They went there because of the famine in their own land, and it was their salvation because they needed food, and it went well because Joseph was second to Pharaoh in Egypt. And they prospered for a while, but then Joseph died, and a Pharaoh arose that did not know Joseph, and the Egyptians eventually enslaved the Israelites, and things got hard. It got so bad that they began killing the sons of the Israelites. Can you imagine what it would be like to be in that place? To not have hope day after day of the workload lessening. In fact, it got so bad that they just kept adding to it. One day, Moses and Aaron took a message to Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, and said, "The Lord God said, let my people go and let them go into the wilderness to hold a feast for me." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let the people go." And he commanded the taskmasters that were over them not only require the same brick output that they did before, but require them to go out and gather the straw for the bricks. Don't provide that for them anymore because these people are too idle. They're saying, "Let us go into the wilderness to hold a feast for our God." Bondage, slavery, it's a tough place. But then the day came that God delivered the Israelites from the hand of the Egyptian. Pharaoh finally said, "Okay, you can go." And they were going, and they got over to the Red Sea, but Pharaoh changed his mind, and he began pursuing them with his armies and his chariots and horsemen. God caused the wind to come all night to blow through the sea and created a dry path for the Israelites to pass through unharmed. And then, as they were watching their enemy coming through that same path, God caused the sea to collapse on their heads and destroyed their enemies in their sight. How do you suppose the Israelites felt that day? Hundreds of years of being in bondage, their sons being killed, perhaps the whips on their back, hard tasks, no freedom, and they lived to see the day that God set them free and destroyed their enemies. Let's read in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1. "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. He was the God of Jacob, of Isaac, of Abraham, and he is my God as well. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. His name is not cat or crocodile or the river Nile or the sun, but the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy." Oh, the joy of deliverance from Egypt. Verse 18, "The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Can you picture that day? Wouldn't you enjoy being there and seeing those folks rejoicing at their deliverance? What a wonderful time in their life. Hundreds of years ago, there were tribal wars in Western Africa. A tribe would capture their enemies and they would deliver the captives. They would sell the captives. Human traffickers came from foreign lands to the country and they put those captives in chains and shackles. Do you suppose there were any mothers crying? Do you suppose there were any men in despair? That there were folks that were wondering, where are we going? What's going on here? Families being ripped apart. Can you imagine the anguish of the soul? They were put in chains and shackles and into ships, in crowded and unhealthy conditions, and those ships crossed the Atlantic. Did you know it's not always smooth sailing? Sometimes the ships were tossed about. There were people, hundreds of people, that died en route, in captivity, coming to the Americas. What would it be like to be a slave? A very dark chapter in the history of this country. A shameful chapter. What would it be like to hear the sound of a whip cracking? Do you know what the purpose of the crack of a whip is? It is to terrorize animals or slaves into obedience. Why? Because they know the feel of the whip. And the crack of a whip is startling. It is something that would send a chill of terror through you if you heard that whip crack. I don't know what it's like. Do you? Do you know what it's like to be a slave? I've been free all of my life. But what would it be to wake up day after day with no hope? You see that fence over there? You don't go past that fence. Because if you go past that fence, we have horses, we have men with shotguns, and we have bloodhounds, and we will find you. And when we find you, we will bring you back here and we'll hang you as an example. Do you suppose that was a deterrent? Do you suppose slaves were ever there hoeing the cotton and looking and seeing that fence and saying, "Oh, if I could just get out there somewhere. If I could just be a free man, a free woman." Oh, the awfulness of slavery, of sin. Let's turn to John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" How could they say that? "We be Abraham's seed, we were never in bondage to any man." Did you forget Israelites' history? Were you never taught in school that for hundreds of years your forefathers were in Egypt as slaves? How could you say we were never in bondage to any man? Why is it that I hear Latin being spoken in the marketplace? Why are Roman soldiers patrolling your streets. Show me the coin. Whose inscription is that? Why are you paying tribute to Caesar? And you say you were never in bondage to any man? Weren't they in some kind of delusion? What about the lying and the stealing and the cheating? What about the unstable souls whose eyes cannot cease from adultery? In fact, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And you say you were never in bondage. Did you know that the children of Israel being in Egypt was a spiritual symbol of eternal souls being captivated by sin? It's an awful place. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Did you know people are under a delusion? They feel like they're free. They feel like they're able to do whatever they want to do. They're the master of their own destiny. It's a delusion. How can you say that? Jesus said, "I say unto you, truly, truly, I say unto you that whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." The song says, "I have served thee long and faithful. Confessed you were my Lord. All your way was dark and painful. And now what is my reward? The wages of sin is death." Verse 35, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever." Why not? The servant of sin doesn't live forever. Why not? Because the wages of sin is death. "But the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Amen. The truth will make you free. The truth to realize I've been under a delusion. Egypt is not the ideal place to live after all. The cotton plantation is not the ultimate life experience. There's something better than that. There is something beyond the fence that is a happy and fulfilling life. What truth will set people free? Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. "Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other." This is the truth that will set us free. "There is not salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There is not salvation in Pharaoh. Did you know that Pharaoh, they considered to be an incarnation of the greatest God? They worshiped Pharaoh. There is no salvation in Pharaoh. There's no salvation in spiritual bondage in Egypt. There's no salvation in any man on earth. People worship religious figures. There's no salvation in that. People exerting spiritual authority over others and demanding the worship of man. There's no salvation in that. The truth will set us free, that through Jesus Christ we can be saved. The truth sets us free that it takes a miracle of God. It was not Moses that liberated the children of Israel. It was a miracle of God that created a dry path through the sea. It was a miracle of God that caused the sea to come back and destroy the enemies. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is a truth that will set us free. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one path to heaven. Lord, help us to find that path to be free. We were never in bondage to any man, they told Jesus. Well, if you've lived in sin, you've been a servant of sin. If you're in sin today, you are a slave to sin. Just like the Israelites in Egypt, just like the African American slaves in our country years ago, you're a slave just like they were. If you are living in sin today, I want to stop drinking, someone may say. But the devil with his whip cracks it and says, no, you go drink again. Someone may want to give up their drugs and the devil says, no, you're going to get high again. Oh, I'm tired of this life. I am tired of hiding my sin. I'm tired of lying to my spouse. I'm tired, and Satan says, do it again. And the chains are too great for people to break. Without a miracle of God, Second Timothy chapter 2. And verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Did you notice that? There are people that are doing things that are harmful to themselves. Anytime you commit a sin, you're harming yourself. In fact, Paul said fornication was a sin against your own body. You're doing damage to yourself. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Reinforcing the idea that sin is a captivity. Luke 11 and 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. We may feel like we are strong, that we can set moral boundaries in our lives. I would never commit this sin or that sin. I'll never go that low. But there is a stronger man than you, and that's Satan. And when he comes, he will spoil your goods. He will take possession of his own. And he has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But thank God there's a stronger man than he that will come and liberate and set free. Luke chapter 8 and verse 26. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Does this man sound like a captive to you? Well, he could break the bands. He was free to break the bands. Was he a captive or was he not? I think he had a supernatural power. But yet he was driven of the devil. That sounds like a captive to me. Living in tombs sounds like captivity to me. That sounds like dark Egypt. That sounds like slavery to me. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because the devils, many devils were entered into him. Jesus came and he set this man free that day. Verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devil was healed, through divine power, through someone that cared enough to come and set him free. I'd like to speak to the men today. As men, we take pride in our strength, don't we? Isn't that natural? I notice that little boys tussle with each other trying to get the dominance. And I observe little girls playing and I don't see much of that. I notice in the animal kingdom, it's the male animals that are struggling for who is the strongest. Who's going to dominate the other one? God made men with a natural trait of wanting to be strong. Our world has assaulted the idea of manhood. Men, there is nothing wrong with being a man. In fact, there's something right about it. That's the way God made you. Don't be ashamed to be a man. And I want to tell you about a real man. 1 John 2 and 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. That is a real man. One who is strong enough to say no to his own flesh. One that is strong enough to say no to anger, to lust, to hatred, to murder, to drunkenness, to the culture of today, to peer pressure. The man that stands strong and firm in character is a real man. We need more men like that today. And Jesus came to enable each one of us to be able to be like that. A man that will be faithful to his wife is the kind of man we need in today's world. That's the kind of man Jesus came to make us. I have good news for you today. But yet it's old news. Jesus came and he read it in the synagogue. Isaiah 61 and 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound. Do you think that's good news today? Amen. Do you think that was good news to the children of Israel? The Lord has come to set you free. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Yes. Do you think that was good news to the slaves in our history when President Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation that all men in the rebellious areas shall be free from now and forever. When the news reached their ears, do you suppose there were any tears of joy? When someone said, "You see the fence there, you're free to go. But if you stay here, I'll pay you for your effort. You're a free man. You're a free woman. No more crack of the whip. No more being forced into the bar again for another drink. No more lighting up another cigarette. No more taking another drug to get high. Free, the shackles gone, sitting clothed and in your right mind at Jesus' feet, hearing the gracious words that proceed from His mouth. Oh, what joy. Have you longed for it? Have you wished you could be free from the things that are driving you into the wilderness, that are driving you into the tombs, into the places of corruption and filthiness and darkness? Freedom. I don't have to do that anymore. Instead, I can be the man that God chose me to be. There is good news today. There is victory over sin. I know that this morning, through different pulpits throughout the land, they are telling people, "We're all sinners. You're going to have to sin. You're going to fail. I have good news today. You don't have to, because Jesus came to set us free." It's wonderful news. I'm glad I heard it. I want it to always be in my life. I want to be the man that God would have me to be. I am so thankful for freedom from slavery, freedom from sin, and I'm thankful that the Deliverer is here today, and He's wanting to set us free. May God bless you today. Amen.